This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
So Carlinville won the toss. They have deferred to the second half, as they have done for years under Chad Easterday. So out, ready to kick it away right now for the Cavaliers, will be Tucker Hughes, and Matt Schmidt will also be on the field. Their dual kicker look for the Carlinville Cavaliers. We welcome everyone listening to our live stream at WSMIRadio.com through our friends at Network One Sports. Hope you enjoyed game one tonight between Hillsboro and Vandalia. The Cavies in the road white look tonight. They've got the white pants, the white jerseys with the blue shoulders, blue helmets, red face masks. Gillespie, the home black jerseys with the orange numerals, orange pants, orange helmets, and the famed Gillespie G. Little onside squibber by Matt Schmidt, and it'll be fallen on quickly by the Miners, as that was Adam Beck who got on top of the football, and Gillespie's going to start outside their own 40-yard line at the 42-yard line to get the night underway. The offense for the Miners, Joey Carter is the quarterback for Gillespie. He'll be protected by left tackle C.J. Waters at 235 pounds a senior, left guard Ryan Root, 236 pounds a senior, center Bryce Higginbotham, 180-pound junior, right guard is Adam Beck, he's 175-pound senior, and the right tackle is Florian Safari, he's a 283-pound senior. As the Miners start first and 10 at their own 42, Carter is under center. Two backs in the backfield. First handoff of the game is running right. That is Frank Barrett, and he is brought down in the backfield behind the 40 at the 39 for a loss of three. So you heard Frankie Barrett's number called there. He's a 6 foot, 177-pound junior. Dominic Taylor, the other halfback, he's a 160-pound senior. The fullback is Dominic McCopet. He's a 198-pound senior at 5 foot nine. And then Devin Stroh's the tight end, 170-pound junior at 6 foot six. And Anthony Cravagna is the split end, 6 foot, 179-pound junior. We'll get to the Cavalier defense here as the series moves along. Officially second and 12 for the Miners as Carter under center. He's going to keep it himself straight ahead, and he gets close to the Gillespie 45. They'll mark him at the 44. Defensively for Carlinville, Will Walton at one defensive end along with Tucker Hughes. Walton's 185-pound senior. Hughes, 160-pound senior. Jordan Breslow at defensive tackle, a 240-pound senior. Blaze Ballou at nose guard, he's a 280-pound senior. And Logan Rosentrader also at defensive tackle. He's 6'7", 200 pounds, and a senior. Your linebackers, Ramey Lewis, he's 165-pound junior, along with junior linebacker Colton DeLong at 200 pounds. In the secondary, Nick Walton, Kyle Dixon, Jake Ambule, and Colin Gimble. Immediate pressure and just throwing away as Carter is a rush right up the middle that time from Ramey Lewis, and it's going to be third down.
Nothing he could do with that play as Lewis was on him as soon as the ball was snapped. He just lucky that he had a receiver to throw it into and just get rid of it.
That was third down. It's now fourth and eight from the Miner 44-yard line. So a quick three and out for the Cavalier defense. Clock stopped at 10:39 after the incompletion. Ambule and Dixon waiting inside their own 25 for the Miner punt. The kick is away from John Berry. It'll be caught, fair caught, by Ambule just inside the 35 at the 33. And that's where the Cavaliers will take over first and 10 with 10 and a half minutes to play in the opening quarter. So here comes Jared Easterday into his senior season for the Cavaliers, a 6 foot, 485-pound quarterback. His line, left tackle Jordan Bressler's 240 pounds a senior. Left guard Alex Dawson, 240 pounds a senior. Center Siler McClain, a 230-pound senior. Blaze Ballou at right guard, he's a 280-pounder. And Jonathan Stillwell at right tackle, 275 pounds. So they've got some big boys up front and the experience to go along with it. Four receivers to start, three on the right side. Easterday from shotgun, quick little swing pass caught by Nick Walton, and Walton going to be brought down in the open field. A really nice tackle made out there by Adam Beck. Going to be a loss of three. Actually, check that. Going to be a loss of about one on the play. The flag came out.
Cool flag. Didn't see that.
Resting right on the left side of the line, it's going to be, I believe that's an illegal substitution on the Miners. So that's going to be free yardage for Carlinville after Gillespie made a nice stop on first down on that little swing pass. So you've heard from Nick Walton. You also have Jake Ambuehl out there at wide receiver along with Kyle Dixon. And then your running back is Ethan Wallace to start. We'll see a lot of Tucker Hughes tonight.
All the way to midfield.
Big penalty on the play. Shotgun snap. Easterday play action. Throws to Ambuehl. Little screen pass set up. And Jake dives to the Gillespie 45 for a gain of 5 yards. And that winds up being a 15-yard penalty. I didn't see him signal personal foul on the
illegal
signal.
Illegal substitution is what we thought, but
Second and 5 for Carlinville, already on the Gillespie side of the field at the 45-yard line. 3 receiver set, 2 split out to the left, Ambuehl and Dixon. They are a handful. Easterday will work from shotgun, hands to Hughes. Tucker running left. Oh, gets blocks, bounces outside. He's inside of the 40, down close to the 35-yard line. He's going to get inside the 35. They'll give him the 34 and a gain of 11. Move the chains for the Cavaliers. Almost a stretch type of play off that left side there. As we noticed last week, Carl, Carlinville bigger, stronger, and faster than they were a year ago. For their opponents this year, that could be a scary proposition. Easterday from shotgun. Has pressure, steps up in the pocket, has Hughes out in the flat. Tucker makes the catch, makes one man miss. Now a host of miners will snow him down at about the 26-yard line. We'll call it a gain of 8. And it's going to set second down and short. So many weapons on this Carlinville offense. You can't cover them all, Carl. You're worried about Dixon. You're worried about Ambuehl. You got to know where DeLong's at. And all of a sudden, there's Tucker Hughes wide open in the flat.
That's the key to this Carlinville's offense. And another factor, it's hard to get to the quarterback. Good offensive line.
4 receiver set for the Cavies. Jarrett from shotgun. Will hand to Tucker Hughes. Huge hole up the middle. 10-5 touchdown. Untouched Tucker Hughes for a 26-yard touchdown. They can spread you out and then burn you with the little inside draw. That touchdown comes at the 8:27 mark of the opening quarter.
One thing the Toppers did against them, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, is slow up the Carlinville's running game, but here, 2 quick big runs by Tucker Hughes has already given them half the yardage they had of the whole game last week.
4 plays, 66 yards. Now Tucker Hughes on for the try. It'll be Jared Easterday to hold. Gillespie almost jumped off sides. They got back on. Snap back, hold down. Tucker's kick is up, and it is good. So a 4-play, 66-yard drive for the Cavaliers, capped off by Tucker Hughes' 26-yard touchdown. And with 8:27 to play in the opening quarter, Carlinville leads Gillespie 7-0. You're listening to High School Football on WSMI. Carlinville takes advantage of that penalty after Gillespie had stuffed him on first down. A 15-yard penalty moved the ball to midfield, and then 4 plays later, they were into the end zone for the touchdown. They weren't actually in the receiver's equipment red zone, Carl. They just passed right through.
Cavaliers have a way of scoring from beyond that, don't they?
They've been known to do it from time to time. Tucker Hughes now, it's a little onside squibber, and the Miners again do a nice job of falling on top of that football. They're going to take over right at midfield. And, Carl, that's always the key when you know that onside kick is coming. Don't try to make a play. Just secure that football.
And, of course, during the course of the year last year, Cavaliers still recovered that quite often.
It's a high percentage play for them because they have the confidence in their defense, even with a short field that they're given a lot of times. They have the ability to not allow it to turn into points. That's what makes this one of the things that makes this Carlinville team so tough. They have confidence on all 3 phases of the football. Joey Carter comes under center. I formation behind him. McCopit is the tailback, or the fullback, excuse me. It is Barrett, the tailback. They'll pitch. Frankie running left. He's got nowhere to go. Colton DeLong meets him in the backfield, turned him inside, and gets him to the turf for a loss of 1 back at the Gillespie 49-yard line. Clock running 8:10 for the opening quarter. All the scores tomorrow morning. Spotlight on sports at 7:30, then sports Saturday at 9:03 here on FM 106. We'll talk to our area coaches and get their thoughts on week 2 of the high school football season. Week 1 is always kind of a interesting week, just trying to work all the different bugs and kinks out of the system. Week 2, coaches are starting to expect more crisp execution. Carter faked the inside run himself, pitches out to the right, nowhere to go, back to midfield for a gain of 1 on the play. That was Barrett again. It's going to be third down and 9 for the Gillespie Miners. 7:25 for the opening quarter. Carlinville leading 7-0. And Gillespie's tried to run outside left, outside right, and same result.
We mentioned it before, Cavaliers have not only the size, but they have speed in that size.
Carter back under center. He's got the double wing T set behind him. They will motion Barrett. They will hand the end around to Dominic Taylor running left. He has some room, met up by Ambule, and Jake Ambule gets him down shy of the yard to gain inside the Carlinville 45 at the 44. That's a gain of 6. That play was well blocked off the left side of that Miners offensive line that time by C.J. Waters and Ryan Root. But, man, Carlinville closed it in a hurry. It looked like Taylor was going to have the angle to get the first down, but Ambule was able to track him down. Now it's 4th and 3, and Gillespie will go. And these are the situations that Chet Easterday has the confidence in his defense, Carl. When they go for the onside kick and don't get it, he believes that his defense can turn the offense away on 4th down. And we're going to get a whistle and a timeout. Chet Easterday wants to talk it over right now. 6:25 for the opening quarter. Carlinville leads 7-0, a huge 4th and 3 for Gillespie from the Carlinville 44-yard line. When we come back to Alumni Field following these messages on WSMI. Tim Myers, Carl DeBar back here at Gillespie High School. Miners facing 4th and 3 from the Carlinville 44. And Carl, we saw last week Hillsborough was in that ball game late into the first half, but just couldn't make enough plays offensively to keep the drives alive. Here's a big opportunity for Gillespie early. Carter will come under center. Two backs in the backfield. Taylor lined up off right tackle. It'll be Carter faking the handoff. He's going to look to throw. Has time. Has a man caught. Taylor, flag comes out. Dominic Taylor has the first down, still on his feet. Inside the 20, down to the 16. We'll wait for the flag to see if it will stand. As of now, Gillespie has entered the Severs Equipment red zone. Score big with Case IH at Severs Equipment online at SeversEquipment.com. And if this is on Gillespie, it's going to be crushing. It was a beautiful throw and catch from Carter to Dominic Taylor. It's going to be pass interference on Carlinville. The play will stand. The ball will be spotted at about the 17-yard line. Gain of 27 on the play.
Who was the receiver on the
Dominic Taylor.
Dominic Taylor. So he's had two big plays for the Miners.
Beat the one-on-one coverage there. Went up, came back to that football, made a beautiful catch. And now we've got whistles and flags coming out. Things going to be a false start on Gillespie. It will be. So that'll cost them 5. It'll move them back outside of the red zone to the 22. But it's first down and 15. That was a huge fourth down conversion, and I don't think Carlinville was expecting the pass there.
Didn't seem to be. They brought a lot of people toward the quarterback, but they really never got to him. That's the key there, too. Gave Carter a little time to throw.
I formation behind Carter, who comes under center. Barrett the deep back. McCope at the fullback. And I think we're going to get another motion penalty on Gillespie. We will.
Ooh.
So 10 yards of false start penalties after a huge fourth down conversion. And boy, does that hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a mental error.
Back-to-back mental errors. It's now 1st and 20. And those are the types of penalties, Carl, that coaches have no patience and tolerance for. You make a
especially,
big play.
Especially when you had just had that big play made. And you had the momentum rolling with you.
Now Carlinville will be able to pin their ears back. I formation. Barrett and McCopin in the backfield. Carter under center. Gillespie comes set. Snap away. Carter play action. Sets up the screen pass. A flag comes out. The catch is made by Devin Stroh. And Stroh gets inside the 25 to about the 23. We'll wait for the flag. Looked like the initial signal was on Carlinville. I could be mistaken. We'll wait for the official signal. It is going to be a hold on Carlinville. So 3 penalties in a row. The first 2 on Gillespie. This one's going to be on the Cavaliers. The gain was around 5 yards. So we'll see if Gillespie wants to take the penalty and keep the down. I would think they would.
Yeah. You want to keep that extra down.
5:27 for the opening quarter. Carlinville scored in their first possession, took it right down the field, 4 plays, 66 yards. Now Gillespie trying to answer back. We still haven't gotten the official signal yet. Gillespie came to the line. They were ready to go, but the official is still ironing out the penalty. It's a hold on Carlinville. And I think, yeah, Gillespie's going to take the penalty.
Where the hell holding took place.
Correct.
So that's going to add. That's a 10-yard penalty on off.
That's gonna,
defensive holding.
He's going to take the football inside the 15 down to about the 13.
Well, you definitely want that penalty.
If the gain was about 4, penalty is 10. It's first down for the Miners. Ball spotted at the 13. Little pump action. Carter going in zone. A miscommunication that time between Frankie Barrett and Carter. He threw the fade to the pylon. Carter said that Barrett was looking to run the slant pattern. It'll be second down. Scoreboard says second and 6 right now. Ball spotted at the 13-yard line. Remember, it was first and 20 on that penalty. These are the situations that you have to take advantage of if you're Gillespie. Early in the ball game, Carlinville has already scored. Now you have an opportunity to answer right back. Got to punch it in, though. Second and goal. Check that. Second and 6 from the 13. Carter under center. Three-step drop. He's throwing end zone. Elevating. Catch is made. It's a Gillespie touchdown. Anthony Cravagna. One-on-one coverage, and I think that was Kyle Dixon. He outfought for the football. It was a 13-yard touchdown. What a huge answer drive for the Miners.
One-on-one coverage, Tim, and Carvagna was up to the task of just doing the jump ball situation.
We saw Gillespie win 2 jump balls on that drive. Talked about over the years the great ball skills this Carlinville secondary has, namely Kyle Dixon, and that time Carvagna won the one-on-one battle. A 7-play, 50-yard drive. A few penalties mixed in made it a little more interesting perhaps than it needed to be, but Gillespie got it done. A huge fourth down conversion, and then the 13-yard touchdown from Carter to Carvagna. Now the extra point for the tie, and it is good. Just got over and in for
crossbar.
Adam Beck. Off the crossbar, doink, and in. 5:03 for the first quarter. Gillespie has answered back. The Miners 7. The Carlinville Cavaliers 7. You're listening to South Central Conference Football on WSMI. The Gillespie Miners answer right back. A 7-play, 50-yard drive. And Carl, 2 huge catches on that drive, one by Taylor on fourth down, and then a huge touchdown reception for Carvagna. Both times the Miner receivers went up and outfought Carlinville for the football.
Right, the Cavalier defense might have been there in coverage, but the Miners receivers did the job of going for the ball and going up and at the high peak and making the catch.
Gillespie able to do what Hillsborough was unable to do a week ago, and that is answer early a Carlinville score.
Answer early and actually just get into the receivers' equipment red zone. The Toppers just could not get a full drive going last week.
Yeah, Hillsborough didn't get there one time last week.
Did they get there once?
I don't think they
did. Yeah, they never made it. They got close. I think 25.
Here is the kick from Beck. Beck's kick is going to go out of bounds, and that's not what Gillespie was looking for there.
Well, I don't think he ever want to return with this Carlinville team.
That's a fair point.
With Dixon back there.
And there is a lot of strategy to be said for kicking the ball away from Kyle Dixon.
You kick it away. You hope to keep it near the sideline. You hope to have that chance to recover it. A lot of teams are going that route, I believe, now.
Yeah, if you kick it out of bounds, they might get to start at the 40, but Dixon isn't running into the end zone for a touchdown. So here comes the Carlinville offense. For the first time this year, they will have to answer an opponent's score. Up front for Gillespie's defense, Ryan Root and Folian Safari at defensive tackle. Dominic McCopit and Devin Stroh at the defensive end position. We'll get you the rest of the Miners' offense or defense here after this snap from Jared Easterday, who works from shotgun. 4 receiver set, 2 receivers in the right slot. Dixon lined up in the left slot with Ambule. Nope, that's Will Walt. Split out wide to the left. Quick little screen pass to Walt, and he makes the catch and churns his way to the 49-yard line for a pickup of 9. The backers for Gillespie, Adam Beck, Frankie Barrett, Billy Gill, and Thomas Johnson. In the secondary, Joe Carter, Anthony Cravagna, and Dom Taylor. Those wide receiver screens, very effective for this Carlinville team. In a lot of ways, that's just an extended handoff with the accuracy of Easterday. They gave him the first down on that play, gave him midfield, so a gain of 10. Shotgun snap for Jarrett. He will hand to Ethan Wallace. Big hole up the middle. Wallace just tripped up as he crosses the Gillespie 45 down at the minor 44-yard line. That'll be a gain of 6 yards. And the Gillespie defense having a tough time getting off those big Carlinville offensive linemen. Second and 2 for Carlinville. Three receiver set. It'll be Will Walton split out wide to the right. Now they will motion Dixon left to right across the formation. Easterday will pitch right to Wallace. Ethan has some blocking in front of him. The Gillespie defense, nice pursuit. I think Wallace, though, got the yardage he needed to move the chains. He is inside the 40-yard line of Gillespie, down to about the 37-yard line. Call it a gain of 7. Gillespie had good pursuit on that play, but Carlinville had their guard pulling and just good blocking up front by the Cavaliers and a nice piece of running by Ethan Wallace to lower his head and get the first down. First and 10 Cavies at the Gillespie 37-yard line. 3:50 for the opening quarter, tied at 7. Dixon will motion right to left across the Carlinville formation. Easterday has time, throws, caught wide open Ambule. He will cut it back to the middle, and he will not be caught or touched. Touchdown, Carlinville. A 37-yard touchdown. Just so many weapons for Jared Easterday to work with.
And another key factor there was a good block, I believe, by Dixon. As soon as Anvil caught that ball, Dixon was there to block the man that would have had the best shot at getting to Jake. So,
4 plays, 60 yards. In a minute and 23 seconds.
Cavaliers have not changed what we call of them from last year, have they?
They can strike quick in a hurry.
Striking offense.
We see them shift away to see if they get the two-point look they're looking for. When they don't, the linemen come back in over the football. And now we're going to get a whistle and flag here. Maybe just a whistle. I don't see a flag. One of the side judges is pointing to the far side of the field. I'm not sure what the call is. You have a Gillespie player trotting off the field. That's Bryce Higginbotham. Don't know if it was injury-related and that's what the reason for the stoppage was. I think so. Now Carlinville's going to shift back out with their linemen to the left. Easterday will survey the defense. If they get the look they want, they'll snap it and go for 2. Here come the linemen back in. And it'll be Tucker Hughes for the point after. 3 minutes, 40 seconds for the opening quarter. Hughes looking to make it 14-7 Cavies. The snap is back. The hold is down. Tucker's kick is up, and it is good through the north upright. 3 minutes, 40 seconds for the opening quarter. Carlinville 14, Gillespie 7. You're listening to the South Central Conference on WSMI-FM 106. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here on FM 106. Welcome everyone listening online to the stream at WSMIRadio.com through our friends at Network One Sports as Carlinville leads 14-7. This kick will be driven deep by Tucker Hughes, more of a mid-range kick, I suppose. Fielded by Carvagna. He's got some room down the sideline. He's across his 40. A flag comes out. He's out of bounds, just shy of midfield. And if this is not on Gillespie, they will have nice field position to start. The flag is resting at the 35-yard line of the Miners.
Usually, though, that's an illegal block around that area.
99 times out of 100, he pointed the wrong way initially. Okay. He signaled towards Carlinville, but then he gave the old X out and pointed back to Gillespie's side, which that makes a little more sense. As you said, Carl, more times than not, the flag comes out on the return. It's on the returning team. Last time Gillespie had the football, 7 plays, 50 yards, and a touchdown with a huge fourth down conversion. But this penalty, though, is going to wipe away a nice starting field position. Instead of out close to midfield, it's going to be back at their own 20-yard line. Third time Gillespie's had the football. They were 3 and out to start the ball game, and then that 7-play touchdown drive to answer Carlinville's score to make it 7-7. Then the Cavies come right back with a quick 4-play 60-yard drive in a minute and 23 seconds. Carter will hand off. Nope, he's going to fake the handoff, try to roll left, and he's got nowhere to go. Jake Ambule able to track him down. He was not fooled by that inside fake. No gain on the play. talked a week ago about Jake Ambuehl, Carl. Just kind of
Mr. Steady.
Mr. Steady, the unsung stud, if you will, of this Carlinville team, both sides of the football. He just has a tendency to make a bunch of plays.
And already has a big touchdown in this football game.
He's sneaky fast, too. You look at him, he is listed at 6 foot, 200 pounds, but boy, he really moves well out there. Carter comes under center, I formation behind him. And a flag before the snap. Carlinville might have been lined up off sides. They were.
That is the call.
A lot of penalties early in this ball game on both sides. And that has been the one thing over the years with Carlinville, Carlos, is the penalties. They can rack up.
They do sometimes. So far, Gillespie's leading that charge, though. They have four to Carlinville's two.
Second down and five from the minor, 25. Carter back under center. Taylor lined up in the backfield off the right tackle. He will motion left. They will fake to Dominic. They try to slam it inside. The ball came out, and Carlinville not able to recover. Gillespie gets on top. They lose yardage, though, and it's going to be third down and long for the Miners back at the 21-yard line. So they lost 4 yards on that missed handoff. Clock running, 3 minutes for the opening quarter. 14-7, Carlinville leading. Gillespie has it third and 10 at their own 20-yard line. Carter back under center. Of course, Easterday has been under center probably 5 times his whole high school career. Quick drop, going to throw down the sideline and incomplete. Big hit by Kyle Dixon. Two flags come out. We might have pass interference and then an unnecessary roughness penalty on Carlinville. I think both these flags are going on the Cavies. They were looking for Taylor down that far sideline, and he took a big lick from Dixon late. Wait for the signals here, but I'll be surprised if both of them aren't on Carlinville. It was third and 10 at the 20. A hold on Carlinville, and then a personal foul on Carlinville. So they'll get to take both of those penalties. No, they'll take the personal foul penalty.
I don't think they get them both. Now, say it was pass interference and then a 15-yard personal foul after, I think they would have been able to get both penalties.
I thought that's initially what the call was going to be, but that is not, I don't think, the situation.
Yeah,
the hold is
declined, so.
And they'll take the personal foul. So it'll be a 15-yard personal foul penalty, move the ball up to the 35-yard line in an automatic first down. And that's just kind of football in 2018, Carl. That is going to be a flag every time.
Well, anytime you take a shot on a receiver, I think it's going to be a flag this year.
You know, I feel like over the last couple of years, we haven't seen that maybe called as consistently at the high school level as you do in college and the pros.
No, it seems like high school gets to play usually.
But we've already seen in both games we've done this year that called once in each game. Carter comes under center. He's got split backs behind him. One receiver out to the left. That is Stroh. Gillespie will keep it on the ground. They run to the right. Not much there. Across the 35 to the 36 for a gain of one. So Carlinville's penalties have kept Gillespie drives alive. One got declined on that touchdown drive after Taylor made a great catch, but had he not caught it, it would have been a pass interference penalty and a first down. This time, the personal foul penalty gives Gillespie a first down after it had been third and 10. It's now second and 8, clock running 2:05 for the opening quarter. Carter under center. He will hand it off. That is Barrett running to the right, moves the pile to the 40-yard line, a gain of 4. Inside of 2 minutes for the opening quarter, Cavies leading 14-7. It's going to be third down and 5 for Gillespie. 100 seconds for quarter number one. Gillespie will huddle up back at their 30. They will break the huddle now. Play clock down to 15. Miners bring it to the line of scrimmage. Gravagna splits out to the left. Dixon will single him up with the coverage on the outside. Play clock down to 7. Carter has the Miner set. Snap away. Little play action. He's going to be flushed, and he will have to roll to his right. Gets away from one, not the other. And he is brought down. The ball came out, but it goes out of bounds. Will they call that a sack? I think they will. And it's going to be fourth down regardless. No, they're going to call it. Yep, down where he lost that football. So the football rolled out of bounds. The clock stops. The minute 12 to play in the first quarter, and the ball will be marked at the 37-yard line for a loss of three. Ambule and Dixon back to receive the Gillespie punt. That is John Barry waiting at his own 25-yard line. Ambule and Dixon waiting just outside their own 30. Oh, it's a fake. Barry going to throw it. It's caught, and that's a first down at midfield for the Gillespie Miners. Oh, they faked the punt, and the catch was made nicely by Billy Gill. What a call from head coach Jacob Bilbrook and his staff. The fake punt conversion goes for 13 yards. They out Carlinville on that one, Carl.
They did indeed. A well executed play gets the Miners another first down.
It marked that one down potentially. Could be a big play in the game. On fourth and 10, the fake punt from their own end. And they convert out to midfield. Down by a touchdown. Carter, little play action. He wants the screen. Going to have to throw it way behind the line of scrimmage. Caught there by Stroh, and he will do a nice job to fight. Get back across midfield. Dives to the Carlinville 47-yard line. He did a good job to get 3 yards out of that.
Yeah, you'd like to say he was way behind the line of scrimmage when he started.
25 seconds for the opening quarter. Feels like the momentum has turned just a little bit after that fake punt conversion. Gillespie does not have to snap it again here in the quarter, and they are not going to. They're going to walk to the sideline. A very entertaining first quarter of football. After 12 minutes here in week two in the South Central Conference, it is the Carlinville Cavaliers 14, the Gillespie Miners 7. We'll come back with second quarter play following these messages on WSMI. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here at Alumni Field in Gillespie. A very nice first quarter of football. The Cavaliers lead 14-7 as they will switch into the field. Gillespie now will attack towards the north end zone. But, Carl, so far Gillespie has converted a 4th-and-3 at midfield that led to a touchdown. And then on this drive, they just converted a fake punt on 4th-and-10.
Well, you got to pull out all the stops when you're playing a Cavalier type of team. And that's who they're playing, obviously. And so far, the passing game has been pretty successful for this minor team.
They got a lot of skill on the outside with Cravania and Taylor. Stroh is 6'6". He can be a handful. They're going to hand it off end around to Dominic Taylor. He's got the first down, and he is inside of the Cavalier 35. Nice piece of running and blocking off the left side of that line. C.J. Waters and Ryan Root opened up the hole, and Taylor shot through down inside the Carlinville 35 to the 33. For a gain of 14.
And successful passing has possibly opened up some running lanes for the minor team.
You know, we talk about the things that have changed in football, different penalties that are called now that weren't a few years ago, but that has not changed. If you throw the ball effectively, the running lanes are going to open up. First and 10 Miners. They will spot the ball at the Carlinville 30. That's a gain of 17 on that play. Carter rolling to the right. Now he's looking to throw. He will dump it off a little bit behind McCulpin, but he'll tell you he should have probably squeezed it, and he had some room to run. Might have turned his head upfield to see all that green grass in front of him before he secured it. It'll be 2nd and 10 from the Cavy 30. 11 and a half minutes for the first half. Talked to Jacob Bilbrook last week on Sports Saturday, and he said, there's no moral victories for this Gillespie program. You know, he's like, yeah, a lot of people, we went up to Vandalia, we competed. He's like, but we're not taking moral victories. But he did say, I liked our attitude in that ball game and coming out. And right now, Gillespie's showing a little bit of that attitude here against Carlinville. They will motion Barrett. They will hand to Barrett. Oh, he's hit in the backfield, nowhere to go. Brought down at the 35-yard line as he ran right in to Jonathan Stillwell that time, the big 275-pound senior. 5-yard loss. That's Stillwell being in the right place at the right time.
I was going to say, you had to see him coming. 275. Wow.
And he just wrapped Barrett up and got him down in a hurry. So now it's 3rd and 15 from the Carlinville 35. A 7-point lead for the Cavies. 10:50 for the first half. Carter under center. He's going to fake to Barrett. He has time. He's going to throw over the middle. Caught, I think, that Stroh short of first down yardage, but it's going to make the fourth down very manageable here for the Gillespie Miners. It is Stroh on the catch inside the 25 at the 24 for a gain of 11. It's going to be fourth and four, and the Miners will go. And that is so big, Carl, when you're in third and long like that, to get that type of gain.
Absolutely. This opens up a lot of the playbook.
And now Jacob Bilbrook wants to talk it over. Big play coming up in the ballgame. 10-21 for the first half. Carthenville leads 14-7. Gillespie has fourth and four from the Carthenville 24 when we come back to Gillespie High School following these messages on WSMI. Gillespie has already converted two fourth downs, one the traditional way, the other with a fake punt. The fake punt came on this drive, and now, Carl, they face fourth and four at the Carthenville 24, and they have a variety of different options and weapons they can go to in this spot.
They can indeed. I'm thinking maybe a little rollout with a Carter, the ability to run and find a wide receiver open.
So the Miners break their timeout huddle. Ball is spotted almost dead center of the field here at Alumni Field. Beautiful night for football here in week two. Fourth and four, I formation behind Carter. They need the 20-yard line to convert. Carter fakes, rolls, and incomplete. Carthenville had that well covered, too well covered. The flag comes out. They were looking for Stroh. Dixon was there. He is yelling at the official. He did not like the call one bit. Colin Gibble was also there. But I think Dixon did get there early, Carl.
So it'll be pass interference. Well, see if that's the only call.
Did they get Dixon for unsportsmanlike after? Either way, it's going to be a first down because they only needed 4 yards. The official talking to the Gillespie sideline. It's pass interference. That's declined. Personal foul. Roughing the passer.
Oh, missed that one. Well.
So either way, it was going to be a first down, even without the pass interference. The personal foul roughing the passer is the penalty that will be accepted, and they will take the football down, I think, to the 14-yard line. And that's where they will spot it. First and 10, Gillespie at the 14. And this is a good spot in the field, Carl. You don't want to be first and goal at the 10. As Gillespie's in, the Severs Equipment red zone. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville. Online at SeversEquipment.com. I formation for Carter and the Miners. The line comes set. Oh, Carter ran into his own man. It blows the whole play up, and he is sacked. Back close to the 20 as his motion man that time ran right into Carter during his drop back.
A little off timing with the backfield, and it's going to cost them dearly. And like you say, they were in at least where they could get that first down, which is nice. Well, once you lose yards back from there, you're putting yourself in a big trouble.
That's a loss of 6. Clock running, 9:45 for the first half. Gillespie will huddle up. They've had some penalties that have put them behind the chains, but they've been able to overcome.
The penalties have come back to help them a couple, three times.
Carter back under center. Two receivers split out to the left, two split to the right. Carter going to look right, going to throw right, and no one's home. He threw to the outside. Both receivers were created inside, so some miscommunication there. And it's going to be third down and about 14. They need to get to the Carthenville 4-yard line. Maybe the 5 for a first down. Right now, they're at the 20. Clock will stop on the incompletion, 9:25 for the first half. They've converted two fourth downs on this drive, one on a fake punt, the other courtesy of a roughing the passer penalty. Will they be looking at another fourth down after this snap? I formation behind Carter. Two receivers, one each side of the formation. Carter going to throw the slant and incomplete. He had to get rid of that sooner than he wanted, looking for Carvagna, but Anthony had not arrived to the spot in time.
Yeah, that's where that Carthenville line got in there a little quicker. Disrupted the timing of that slant pass.
So it'll be fourth and 14 for Gillespie at the 20-yard line. be a 37-yard field goal from here. It looks like the Gillespie offense is going to come off the field, and they're going to give the field goal a try. Adam Beck to hold will be Frank Barrett. It'll be a 37-yard field goal try. Snap back, hold down. Beck's kick is up, and it is wide to the left. Had the distance, but it was hooking to the left in a hurry. So the field goal attempt is no good, and Carlinville dodges one right there after that roughing the passer penalty kept the drive alive. So for Gillespie, they had the ball, Carl, for 14 snaps for that field goal attempt.
Well, that one loss of six on when Carter faded back and got tangled up with his own player, I think really just threw that nice sequence of drive out of whack.
A drive that started at their own 20, ends at the Carlinville 20. They had the football for the last 3:34 of the first quarter and almost the first 3 minutes of the second quarter. So that part was good. They took time off the clock, kept Carlinville's offense on the sideline, but they don't come up with points. Now the Cavies with their quick strike capability. Easterday, he handed it off. Big hole, Tucker Hughes, midfield to the 30, to the 20. He is gone for an 80-yard touchdown. Is there a flag down? There is a flag on the field, the line of scrimmage. Bring it back, a hold on the Cavaliers.
Called back, wow.
And what a momentum swing that would have been, Carl, after Gillespie has that long drive with no points. If Carlinville would have scored on the first snap, boy, that would have been huge. Instead, wipe it off the board, a costly holding penalty against the Carlinville Cavaliers as Tucker Hughes just ran 80 yards for nothing.
And, of course, penalty. Penalty looks like it's about 8 to 9 yards into that play, so they will get those yards before they mark off the penalty.
So give Tucker, we'll say, a gain of 8. Not quite as good as 80.
Yeah, quite a loss on that for him.
Boy, and the penalties right now racking up on Carlinville. They're a little bit undisciplined here in the opening half of week number 2. That will not make Chad Easterday and his staff happy one bit. So the ball will be marked and spotted at the 18-yard line. It'll be first and 12. Easterday from shotgun. Will hand it off. Oh, another big hole for Tucker again. No, that's Ethan Wallace this time. He's fighting, has the first down, still on his feet, dragging would-be tacklers out to the 40-yard line. My goodness, a gain of 22 yards. It was a big hole initially, Carl, and then Wallace showed the power, and he just refused to be brought down.
That was a lot of determination right there.
Big holes being opened up by this Carlinville offensive line, and they are big and strong and experienced. Cavi stacked 3 receivers in the right slot. 1 receiver to the left. Easterday, a little pump fake. Now he's going to throw over the middle and incomplete. Split his 2 targets that time, Ambule and DeLong. They were both open, but Easterday threw it right between Ambule and DeLong. It'll be 2nd and 10. 8:39 for the first half. 14-7. Carlinville leads. Gillespie had the football for almost 7 minutes, could not score. Carlinville just had a touchdown wiped out because of a holding penalty. Now they face 2nd and 10 at their own 40. Easterday from shotgun will hand to Wallace. Ethan, a big hole. He's to midfield, has the first down, and Taylor brings him down inside the Gillespie 45 at the 44. Gain of 16. Carlinville running the ball a little more effectively this week than we saw last week.
Way ahead, even without that extra 72 yards of Hughes.
8.5 minutes for the first half, and that's a sign of a good team, Carl. A penalty wipes out an 80-yard touchdown. The next 2 snaps, they run basically the same play and get chunks of yardage. Trip receivers to the right, 2 stacked in that right slot. Easterday shotgun snap. He is pressured this time, has to step up in the pocket. He's going to tuck it and run it, and McCopin gets him to the ground after a short gain for Easterday down to about the 43, so he'll gain 1. Good pressure that time from the Gillespie front.
Miners might not have got a sack, but they must have had good coverage forcing Easterday to scramble.
And even when Jarrett's getting pressured, Carl, he always has his eyes downfield. which is a sign of a good quarterback.
He's definitely not a run-first quarterback. He's definitely looking for his receivers.
But he's not worried about the pressure to where he just takes his eyes off his target. Three receivers stacked in the right slot. Easterday going to look for the quick little screen.
Boy, no one there.
Boy, miscommunication there. Easterday threw it out to the flat, and literally no one home. He had two receivers.
Say that on that earlier pass in this drive, too.
Two receivers running deep. Dixon was running a slant about 5 yards ahead of where the pass was thrown. Third and 8 from the Gillespie 43-yard line. 7:34 for the first half of play. Good ball game here tonight in Gillespie at Alumni Field.
Big down here.
Four receiver set. Dixon will motion left to right across the Carlinville formation. Easterday from shotgun. Going to throw right, looking for Dixon, and incomplete. Good coverage out there in the Gillespie secondary. It'll be fourth down. I think that was Adam Beck on the coverage that time. He stayed with Dixon stride for stride. That is not an easy thing to do.
No, that in itself is hard to do.
Gillespie would appear to force the Carlinville punt. Of course, you never know for sure with the Cavies because Easterday is also their punter. So it always keeps the opponent on their heels, not knowing for sure if the Cavies will go for it or get that rugby-style punt from Easterday. Gillespie does not have a man back. It looks like Carlinville's in punt formation, but you just never know for certain. You can never relax. We've already seen Gillespie convert on a fake punt. Easterday will kick it away, a nice high kick. And Gillespie's going to let it go, and it was going to take a Gillespie bounce, so it's got on quickly that time. I think that was Ambuel down there. He touched it just outside the 10 at the 11, so a nice defensive stand for the Miners D. Remember, the 80-yard touchdown taken off the board after the holding penalty. Gillespie will take over at their own 13.
Well, the Miners have been able, like say, move the ball mainly through the air. 54 yards for Joey Carter so far in 9 attempts and 4 completions.
14-7, Carlinville leads. Gillespie has the football back. Ball officially spotted now at the Miners' own 12-yard line. Carter under center, power-looking formation. They will hand it off. And in trouble in the backfield is the ball carrier. I think that was John Berry, and he had nowhere to go. He bounced off the first would-be tackler. Might have lost a yard back to the 11. Good penetration that time.
Traditional runs against Cavaliers have not worked at all this year, be it against Hillsboro or now be it against the Gillespie.
In a lot of ways, last year or
and
the year before.
Year.
They've had a stout defense for a number of years here during this dominating run of football they've played. State runner-up 2 years ago. State quarterfinalists lost in overtime last year. Carter under center, hands to Taylor. Oh, he has his legs taken out, flips head over heels, and the flag comes out. Not sure what this is going to be. That was just a good football play there.
Kind of after the play, and it might have been.
It's a personal foul on Carlinville. If it's a dead ball foul, that's one thing. But if they called that on the hit, Carl, I don't agree with that.
Well, I think it might have been a dead ball call because the ball looks like after he rolled over, he let go, and he might have got hit again. And that's my guess from here. We don't have replay.
The tackle was a very nice tackle. They took the legs out of Taylor. He went flying. He was had his head to the ground and his feet to the air. The ball came out, and the flag came out right after that. The gain, or the flag, I should say, moves the ball out to the 25-yard line. Another personal foul penalty on Carlinville. That's at least their third of the ball game. Carter from shotgun sets up the little screen pass to Barrett. He makes the catch, moves out to the 29-yard line. Gain of 4 yards. Clock running halfway through the second quarter. 14-7 Carlinville. Cavie scored the first 2 times they had the football. Since then, they've only had the football 1 time after that long Gillespie drive. Even though it didn't end in points, it did accomplish something. This is the drive now where Gillespie needs to answer back for the tying score. 2nd and 7 from their 29. Carter fakes the handoff. Now he's going to be crushed in the backfield. Oh, he was looking to pass. Might have been an option-style pass, and boy, did he take a big lick that time as Logan Rosentrater came in and greeted himself rather rudely to Joey Carter. Ball spotted back inside of the 25 at the 23, a loss of 6, and that was a big lick.
That was a big hit, and really he had nowhere to go, Tim. He went in the back. He couldn't pitch it because there was a Cavalier waiting to hit the receiver or the running back.
5 minutes, first half, third and 11 now facing this Gillespie offense from their own 23-yard line. Four receiver set, two on each side of the formation. Carter will come under center. McCopit, the lone back. Joey's going to throw it quickly out to Cravagna. Anthony needs to make a man miss. He does. Charging ahead. He gets out across the 30 to about the 32-yard line. A good quick hitter there for a gain of 9 yards, but short of first down yardage. 4.5 minutes for the first half. Remember, Carlinville will get the football to start the second half. Gillespie will punt it away.
Well, last time Gillespie did pass the ball for a first down.
Fourth and 3. Now, I think they're going to line up. Well, they got their punter out there. Dixon is back as the return man, and Barry will punt it away. Nice high kick, but it goes right to Kyle Dixon. He'll have a chance to return. Dancing at the 38. Makes a man miss at the 40. Still on his feet at the 45. Crosses midfield. Down the sideline. Now he cuts it back and still on his feet inside the Gillespie 40. Down to the minor 35. And that is what Kyle Dixon can do when you punt the football to him.
Seen it for a good year plus now, Tim. And yeah, a lot of times you see the other teams, they'll just punt the ball either super high or out of bounds. Same with the kickoffs, and that's the reason why.
That punt was high enough, but it went right to Dixon. He didn't have to move.
There was good coverage coming down the field. He's just got those moves in the open field that are dangerous.
Can the Gillespie defense come up with another stand? Easterday will pitch to Ethan Wallace, who runs to the right. Cuts it back inside now. Gets inside of the 30, down to about the 29. Call it a gain of 6. It'll be second and about 4, 3.5 minutes for the first half. And these are the little things, Carl. 3.5 minutes to go in the half. Carlinville's up a touchdown. Good field position here. Remember, they get the football to start the third quarter, so this game could get out of hand in a hurry if Gillespie's not careful. Easterday from shotgun will hand to Wallace. He'll run left this time, still on his feet, leaps towards the 25, and he should have enough for a Carlinville first down. Gain 4. It'll be first down, Cabbies. We'll be inside of 3 minutes. Probably right around the 3. I was going to say inside of 3 minutes with 3:08, but as fast as Carlinville gets to the line and snaps the ball, we might not be of 3 minutes. We will be, though.
Cavalier running game, over 100 yards already, with leading 61 by Wallace.
Yesterday from shotgun, and now we've got a whistle, and do we have a timeout taken? Yes, Gillespie takes a timeout. 2 minutes, 56 seconds for the first half. Good ball game here in week 2 at Gillespie. Carlinville 14, the Miners 7. We'll come back for the final 2:56 of the first half following these messages on WSMI. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here at Gillespie High School, and a light rain has begun to fall here at Alumni Field. Probably more of a mist than anything else.
Wasn't bothering us any, but we did notice the other people putting on rain gear.
Well, yeah, the cheerleaders got the plastic ponchos out. First and 10 for the Cavies from the Gillespie 24-yard line. Yesterday from shotgun, two receiver set. They will hand to Ethan Wallace. Ethan straight ahead, and he will pick up a nice 5-yard gain down to about the 19, and the Carlinville Cavaliers have entered the Sievers Equipment Red Zone. Mow like a pro with Xmark. Score big at Sievers, online at sieversequipment.com.
And this is a rarity. Cavaliers on a running attack in this particular drive, led by Wallace, who's now already up to 66 yards.
And they've had a lot more success on the ground here in the first half than through the air. It'll be a play action to Wallace. Little slant set up to Ambuel, and Jake Ambuel makes the first guy miss, dives for the end zone. It's a Cavi touchdown.
Well, it's Jake Ambuel day. He gets another huge catch for the Cavaliers.
Comes at the 2:18 mark of the second quarter. The first score here in the second quarter makes it 20-7. Winds up being a 4-play drive for Carlinville. They covered 65 yards, 20 on the touchdown reception. Carlinville lining up for the extra point. As Jared Easterday, the holder, walked up to his line, said something to his center. And of course, with the light mist falling, that might have had something to do with the conversation. They might have stopped at this precise moment. Snap back, hold down. Tucker's kick is up, and he's still perfect on the year. 21-7, the Carlinville Cavaliers lead the Gillespie Miners. 2:18 for the first half. You're listening to South Central Conference Football on WSMI. Carlinville leads 21-7 after their four-play 65-yard drive. Jake Ambuehl's second touchdown reception of the night. The first was 37 yards. The latest, a 20-yard strike from Jared Easterday. Now Tucker Hughes, he will drive it deep. It's going to be fielded at around the 15-yard line. Muffed by Carvagna, picked back up. He will make the first guy miss. He's out across the 20, close to the 25. He gets across the 25, shy of the 30. Did a nice job after he didn't handle it cleanly to get some positive yardage. 2:12 for the first half. And this becomes a big 2 minutes and 12 seconds for this Gillespie offense with the Cavaliers set to receive the second half kickoff.
Been able to hit some key passes, Tim, but also Cavaliers have made it tough on Carter, getting the ball off a couple times where he had no time.
Gillespie's converted 3 4th downs, one traditionally, one in a fake punt, the other courtesy of a personal foul roughing the passer penalty. First and 10 at the 28-yard line for the Miners, their own 28. Carter going to throw it out in the flat, and it never got there. Stroh was open, but it short hopped him. For the most part, Carter has not had much time to set his feet.
No. He's thrown a pretty good ball when he's had time to set.
He's been able to throw the ball up and let his receivers go up and make some football plays, which they have done.
Of course, you got Taylor. He's the speed guy, and you got Carvagna, another speed guy on the other side, so it's a good lineup for going deep.
Four receiver set, Carter under center, inside handoff to Makopa. He's got room. He's got a Gillespie first down out across the 40 to the Miner 40. Where are they going to give him? The 43. Gain of 15 yards. They surprised Carlinville that time with the inside draw. Spread him out,
like
run it up inside.
They had the two speed guys, the running back who moves on the way outside. Yeah, worked on me. Worked on the Kevlar defense.
A minute 55 clock running first half. A two-touchdown lead for Carlinville. Gillespie looking for a late answer here in the first half. Carlinville led 7-0. Gillespie tied it at 7, and then two unanswered scores from the Cavaliers. Carter under center. Another four receiver set. Always got pressure immediately, and he is going to be sacked back inside the 40. At the 39, loss of 4, but more importantly, the clock is running 90 seconds for the first half. And that time, Carlos Carter gets up a bit wobbly. He had no time.
No.
And he might have hurt himself trying to get away from that pressure. Cavaliers had him wrapped up on the ankles, and he was fighting and trying to get loose and could not do it. 70 seconds for the first half, second and 14. Four receiver set. Carvagna split wide to the left. Taylor comes near side, wide to the right. Carter under center. They will hand to Makopa again. And the football came out. Who got on top of it? Carlinville says they have it. We'll wait for the official signal as they put a helmet right on that football. And Carlinville has it. A fumble from the Miners, and that is costly with 51 seconds to play in the half. And now Carlinville has a chance to blow it open.
And we know the Cavalier offense is capable of the quick strike.
They will start at the Gillespie 39-yard line. 51 seconds for the half. Easterday and crew licking their chops now.
Names that have not caught a ball? Kyle Dixon for the Cavaliers.
He is lined up right now on the right. Easterday going to hand it off. Not much there. Gillespie did a good job to shut that down. Cavaliers will take a quick timeout. Ball carrier that time was Tucker Hughes. Short gain on the play. Picked up about 2 yards to the 37. 45 seconds for the first half. And Carr will keep it right here as this becomes a very big sequence, as we said, with the Cavaliers receiving the second half kickoff. If Gillespie's not careful, they could be down 35-7 real quick.
Yeah, and that would be tough after they've had a good drive or two against this Cavalier defense. But, again, the Cavalier offense seems to find ways. And this time, it's more on the ground than it is in the air.
Yeah, really, tonight, we have not seen the typical Carlinville passing attack. Now, some of the running success is because of the Carlinville passing game, because they get you spread out with all those wide receivers. And we've seen a lot of green space and a lot of big holes opened up in the middle part of that field for Ethan Wallace and Tucker Hughes.
We have indeed. It's Wallace 66 yards and Tucker 47. They still have 80 yards passing, so they've hit some of the big plays, and a couple of them to Jake Ambiel.
And remember, an 80-yard touchdown run called back.
Just 77 yards of it, or 73 yards of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was after he gained 7 or 8 yards.
We'll have all the scores tomorrow morning. Spotlight on sports at 7:30, then Sports Saturday, 9:03 tomorrow morning here on FM 106. Following the Cavalier timeout, 2nd and 8 from the Gillespie 38. Isude from shotgun. He will roll to his right. He will look down the field. He will throw it down the field looking for Dixon. Makes a nice adjustment. The catch and the touchdown. Nope. Did he step out of bounds? Yes, he did. Stepped out at around the 5-yard line. It'll be a gain of 32 as Carlinville's enter the Severs Equipment red zone. Score big with JCB at Severs Equipment online at SeversEquipment.com.
Well, we mentioned he had no catches.
Now
that
he has a big one.
Quick.
Yep.
Yes,
big kid.
Close to a touchdown.
Stepped out at the 7. So it'll be a gain of 30. 36.9 seconds for the first half. First and goal for Carlinville at the minor 7. Split backs for Easter. Now he will hand to the deep back Tucker Hughes, and the Gillespie defense stacks him up and stuffs him. And Carlinville going to have to take a timeout with 30 seconds to play in the first half. 21-7, Carlinville leads Gillespie. They have it 2nd and goal at the 7-yard line when we come back to Alumni Field at Gillespie High School following these messages on WSMI. Tim Myers, Carl DeBar back here at Gillespie High School. A 21-7 Carlinville lead. Half a minute to play first half. Gillespie trying to turn Carlinville away at 2nd and goal at the 7. Isude from shotgun has a 4-receiver formation. He will fake the handoff. Now he's going to throw the slant to Ambule, and he is hit. A Gillespie helmet comes flying off as Ambule is brought down in the field to play. The clock will stop because the helmet came off. That's a bad break for Gillespie.
So they have to let the player get off the field before they can restart.
It was Adam Beck's helmet who came flying off, so the clock stops. Now it runs, but Carlinville's at the line ready to go. 3rd and goal from the 2. Easterday rolling left, looking end zone, caught, touchdown. That is Jake Ambule. He has the hat trick here in the first half. This one, a 2-yard touchdown.
We talk about him being that steady Eddie, but today he's Mr. Touchdown. 3 already in this half.
And, of course, he's had some big defensive plays as well. That comes with just 13 seconds to play in the first half. Tucker Hughes on for the try. Carlinville takes advantage of the Gillespie fumble. Isude will hold. Tucker's kick is up, and it is good. So with 13.7 seconds to play in the first half, all of a sudden it is 28-7 Carlinville. And Carlos, they can do it just that quickly to you. This game was tied at 7 with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. It was 14-7 with 2 minutes and 18 seconds to go in the first half. Now all of a sudden it's 28-7.
Yeah, Carlinville has that strict quick strike ability, and Jake Ambule having a heck of a day as he's already got 5 catches, 69 yards, and 3 touchdowns for this Cavalier team.
So you come into the game against Carlinville and you think, okay, we got to contain the passing game. We got to keep Kyle Dixon in check.
Which
they did those.
Up to the very last drive, and Dixon, his only catch, but it's a big one. It does set up that Cavalier touchdown.
So it's 28-7 Carlinville, and they will get the football to start the third quarter. You know, we talked last week's game felt closer than 35-0. Hillsborough was in the game. It was 14-0 at half, and then it got away from them. Very similar here tonight for Gillespie. They had a couple of opportunities, didn't capitalize, and you just can't turn it over against this Carlinville team. They will make you pay.
I mean, the Miners have only turned it over the one time, I guess, but still.
Costly.
It costs a touchdown. It costs a drive.
And the time of the game it happens, too. Late in the first half like that, you give Carlinville the short field. Tucker Hughes now. Little mid-range pooch going to be fielded at the 30-yard line. And Carlinville covers it up quickly. Nowhere to go that time for the Gillespie return man. I think it was Zane Reamer on the return. He had nowhere to go. Just out across the 30 to the 31 with just 10 seconds for the first half. Boy, this can be demoralizing if you're Gillespie, Carl. You played quite well for a majority of this first half, but you look up at the scoreboard, you're down 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it. He makes some adjustments, but the key is what do you do to stop? They got the running game going now, Cavaliers, and they still have the dangerous passing game.
So many weapons. See how Gillespie wants to play this with 10 seconds to play in the first half. Down by 3 touchdowns, Carlinville will get the football to start the third quarter.
Huge prevent defense on the Cavaliers side.
Carter comes under center. He will hand it off, and that'll be the final play of the first half. It was an inside handoff that time to Thomas Johnson, and the first half comes to a close. A game that was tied at 7 late in the first quarter. It was 14-7 late in the first quarter, 21-7 late in the first half, and all of a sudden it is 28-7. The Carlinville Cavaliers, they scored a touchdown at 2:18 of the first half to make it 21-7. Scored a touchdown with 13 seconds left in the first half to make it 28-7. And they will get the football to start the third quarter as the rain continues to fall here at Gillespie High School. At the half, Carlinville leads Gillespie 28-7. We'll come back with a third quarter kickoff following these messages on WSMI. Tip my eyes, Carl, the bar back here at Gillespie High School. And Carl, during halftime here, the rain has picked up. It was a mist early. It is not a mist now.
No, now we would have noticed it.
It's
nothing super heavy, Tim, but it's going to obviously get the field in a nice, wet condition.
This is the type of game when you're a high school kid or even younger. Hey, you like to play in this type of rain. This could be fun.
Well, also type of game when you're behind 28-7, you're hoping maybe this is a break for us.
Could be. The ball can get loose.
Momentum, get a couple loose balls. That's
exactly right. As we look at the numbers from the first half, Carl, the total yardage, big gap for Carlinville.
Big gap. The Cavaliers rushed for that 115 yards. The passing game actually overtook the rushing game at the end, but 7 out of 10 for Jared Easterday, 130 yards. Of course, the 3 touchdowns to Jake Ambuel as he picks up 69 yards. He's having that whale of a game. We was talking about his steady Eddie approach where he's getting that big third down and 8 yards, you know, when you need it. Well, today he's Mr. Touchdown. So
37-yarder, 20-yarder, and a 2-yarder.
Well, that's because he caught the one before and tried to spin into it and didn't quite make it. But, yeah, Cavaliers, 245 total yards to Gillespie's 89 total yards. The sad thing, 18 is rushing, but they had a couple great rushes. We've had about 6-7 sacks and about 8 other losses of a yard or two on running plays. So it's really negligated whatever rushing attack they had. Passing hadn't been too bad. 7 out of 13, 71 yards, and that's with a lot of pressure. So you got to give a hats off, really, to Joey Carter because he hasn't had time on a regular basis to make a throw.
We are set for the start of the third quarter. Adam Beck has it teed up in the rain at the 40. And here we go. It is a line drive angling towards the left sideline, and it's going to get out of bounds as Dixon gives chase. And now we got some extracurriculars on the far sideline. A flag comes out as Hunter Robinson and John Barry got tangled up. Both wound up sitting on their backsides, and the flag came out. So this might be the old offsetting penalty here. And, Carl, this game was 14-7 for most of that first half. With 2:18 to play in the first half, it was 14-7, and remember, that was after it was 21-7. That's when the fumble came in the final minute, and
right.
Carlinville tacked on that extra score.
Yeah, like I say, the 14-7 point was a key factor because Gillespie drove, got down inside the 30, but could not finish off the drive.
It is going to be a dead ball, personal foul on Gillespie, not offsetting. So the kickoff went out of bounds. That would put the ball at the 40. But with the personal foul penalty on the Miners, that is going to move the football all the way up to the Gillespie 45-yard line. No time has come off the third quarter clock. So Carlinville right back on the Gillespie side of the field, and the umbrellas are out here at Alumni Field. It is a Good consistent rain right now. Easterday will hand off to Tucker Hughes, running left, puts his foot on the ground, cuts it inside as he gets down to the Gillespie 36-yard line for a gain of 9.
Well, no one felt the penalties worse than Tucker Hughes because he had the 80-yard touchdown called back.
Footing and ball security will be the thing to watch here in the second half now. Playing in the rain, week 2 of the high school football season in Gillespie. Easterday from shotgun wipes his hands off his pant legs as the snap is back to him. He will hand it off to Tucker Hughes. Tucker straight ahead has the Carlinville first down inside of the 30, down to the 29. That's a gain of 7. ...11-21 for the third quarter. The bad thing about broadcasting the game in the rain, Carl, when you're in the press box is the umbrellas are blocking my view. But when you're dry, you can't tell the person out in the rain, hey, put your umbrella down, I can't see.
You don't need that. You'll be fine.
First and 10 for the Cavaliers. A couple of runs for Tucker Hughes to move the chains here to start the second half of play. As Easterday back in shotgun formation. Three receiver set, and he will hand to Tucker. Hughes running to the right, has the corner, turns it up inside, has the first down, big gain inside of the 15, down inside the 10 at the 9, a gain of 20. And Carlinville right back in the Seavers Equipment red zone. Score big with Case IH at Seavers Equipment, online at SeaversEquipment.com. It'll be first and goal for the Carlinville Cavaliers. Ball will be spotted at the 9-yard line. Easterday will come under center now. A power look for Carlinville, and he will give to the first man through. I think that's Colton DeLong. He's fighting and churning, and he will be brought down just outside the 5 at the 6. So four running plays to start, all going for nice yardage. It'll be second and goal from the 6 for Carlinville. Easterday comes back under center. DeLong lined up right behind him. Split backs, Hughes and Wallace. They will give it to Tucker Hughes, and Tucker that time might have lost his footing. Did the ball come out? It did. Gillespie says they have it, and they do.
Well, that wet ball might have came into play.
The handoff was clean, but as Tucker Hughes went into that line, he lost the football. And with 10:34 to play in the third quarter, Gillespie has the football after the fumble by Tucker Hughes. They will take over at their own 4-yard line, but that is exactly what the Miners needed, trailing 28-7. Now, will they be able to secure the football in the rain? It was just kind of a light miss late in that first half, but during the halftime break, the rain really picked up. Joey Carter comes under center. He will give it off inside, and nothing doing there. And the ball carrier slow to his feet. That's McCope, but now he's up. And Carl, that's a really nice Gillespie fan. She saw that I was struggling to see, so she moved. That's awesome. That is very nice. No gain. Everybody except Jan Dona.
She got a little wet. First thing she did was come into the press box. Yep.
I don't blame her one bit. Second and 10 from the 4-yard line. Another inside handoff, and again, nothing doing there. As it's going to be third down and long, it was McCopet again on the carry, and again, no gain on the play. Clock running, 9:40 for the third quarter. Actually lost a yard on that carry, so it's going to be third and 11 from the Gillespie's own 3-yard line. They got the turnover that they needed, but if you had to order it up, you wouldn't take it at your own 4.
It does stop a score potential, but you got to find a way to get a first down or two to get it out of your own goal line.
Carter under center in the rain. He will hand it off. McCopet again tried the left side, and nothing doing there. Got out to the 5, a gain of 2, but it's going to be fourth down from Gillespie's own 5-yard line. They tried McCopet 3 straight carries there, and he got 1 yard out of it. So the Miners will punt from their own end zone with 9 minutes to play in the third quarter. Extra work for the officials when the rain is coming down like this. They got to make sure the football is dry. as if they don't have enough to worry about on a given football Friday night. Lispy huddled up, play clock at 12, game clock at 8.5 minutes, third quarter. The Carlinville defense, after the fumble, able to turn the Miners away on three plays and only 1 yard gained. Barry's punt gets it away. Nobody back for Carlinville. It will hit at the 45, takes a Miner roll across midfield, and Gillespie will touch it down at the Carlinville 49-yard line. So a very nice punt right there from John Barry. 8:18 for the third quarter. We'll remind you all the scores tomorrow morning. Spotlight on sports. Sports Saturday at 9:03. We'll talk to Chad East today. Hopefully get a hold of Jacob Bilbrook as well, as along with our other area coaches. Get their thoughts on week two of the high school football season. Tomorrow morning, 9:03, Sports Saturday on FM 106. Stay tuned. After the conclusion of the ball game tonight, David Jenkins will have the postgame show for you here on WSMI. Of course, David does a great job with the Pizza Man pregame show, and he'll have all the final scores from around the listening area tonight following our conclusion here in Gillespie. So a new football into play. They will take the wet one over to the Gillespie sideline, and someone will get that dried off. Easterday in shotgun, split backs, and then a deep back Wallace behind him. Jarrett takes a shotgun snap, hands to Ethan Wallace. Tries to bounce outside, and he is brought down back at the 45. Nice defensive play that time from Adam Beck, as he didn't get Wallace to the ground, Carl, but he got him off balance.
And the wet turf did the rest. That's the first loss on a running play by the Cavaliers in this football game. So the Miners needed something like that.
That was a 4-yard loss. Sets up second and 14 inside of 8 minutes for the third quarter. DeLong will line up just behind the right tackle. Wallace is the deep back for Easterday, who works from shotgun, a three-receiver set. They will fake to Wallace. Oh, Easterday is blown up and brought down in the backfield at the 37-yard line. He had nowhere to go that time. I think that was McCopit on the sack that time, as Dominic Makopic was into the backfield almost as soon as Easterday took the shotgun snap. Loss of 8. Back-to-back negative plays.
Back-to-back big negative plays. And now that turnover is looking much huger as it stopped the Cavaliers and maybe fired up the Gillespie Miner defense. And
if they can get a stop here, they can flip that field position. 7-10 for the third quarter. Easterday from shotgun will hand it off. Easterday took a shot off to the handoff, and Ethan Wallace breaks a tackle, has the first down, and he might score at the 30. It's a foot race at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Wow. Ethan Wallace.
The danger of the Cavaliers and their big plays, Tim. Game after game, we see it.
A 63-yard touchdown for Wallace, and he was just bouncing off of would-be tacklers. After two negative plays, a 63-yard touchdown, a three-play, 51-yard drive.
9 carries, 125 yards now for Ethan Wallace in this football game.
That was his most impressive run of the night and probably of the season.
Doubled his total for the day by a yard on that one carry.
See if Tucker Hughes can stay perfect on his extra points in the rain. Snap back, hold down. Tucker's kick is up, and it is good. 6:56 to play, third quarter. A 63-yard touchdown run for Ethan Wallace makes it 35-7. Carlinville leads Gillespie. We'll come back to Alumni Field in Gillespie following these messages on WSMI. A 63-yard touchdown for Ethan Wallace in the rain, and it's 35-7 Carlinville. Now Matt Schmidt, little onside kick attempt. The ball is bounding around the wet football. Can Gillespie get on top? I think they finally did. Yes, they did. It was an adventure, though, as Thomas Johnson eventually got on top of Carl. That ball was bounding and bouncing for around 7 or 8 yards.
Just the way you like it, especially in a wet field, and get that little knuckleball football going. No one can grab a hold of it.
So the Gillespie defense looked like they were going to possibly force Carlinville into a punt after two straight negative plays, and then Ethan Wallace, he had other ideas. The play was very well blocked at the outset, and then Wallace did the rest. He probably broke, what, 3 tackles?
He did indeed. And of course, once he got in the open field, the good speed does the rest.
Carter comes under center. Line is set. for receivers for Gillespie. Slant pattern through the hands of Crivagna. That might have been a wet football situation there.
And again, Carter takes a shot. Remember, we missed one of the penalties against Carnivale because we was thinking there's a penalty on the other end and it was a personal foul. So Carter's taking a few heavy hits besides being sacked four times in this football game.
And now, down by 28, Carnivale is really going to come after
him. Yeah, they'll be coming after the quarterback and makes it tough.
Rain continues to fall here in Gillespie. Four receivers, two each side of the formation. Makopet is the tailback. Carter under center. He will hand it off to Dominic, and nothing doing there. He's wrapped up right at the line of scrimmage, falls forward for a gain of one, maybe two, to the 36. Wrapped up very quickly by Jonathan Stillwell. So much size on the inside of this Gillespie defense. You got Jordan Bressler, 5'10", 240. Blaze Ballou, 6'3", 280. Logan Rosentrader, 6'7", 200, all on the inside. Then they got the speed rushers on the outside. Walton at 185 and Tucker Hughes at defensive end with that speed at 160. That's a nice combination.
It is.
Third and nine from the Gillespie 36. They're going to throw a quick little hitter out to Dominic Taylor. Makes the first guy miss. Gets out across the 40 to about the 43 for a gain of seven. And it's going to be fourth down halfway through the third quarter. The speed of this Carlinville defense to go with the size, as we were just mentioning on the inside, really makes it tough. Hard to run inside with the big boys. Hard to run outside with the speed.
Yes, right. And then when you try to pass, they had the rushers. Mm.
And the secondary players with the ball skills. Although we've seen the Gillespie receivers make some good plays tonight.
They have some good skills, too, on
the
receiving end.
Gillespie will go on fourth down. Crivagna makes the catch behind the line of scrimmage, and he is slung to the turf quickly by Nick Walton. Walton read that play all over Crivagna, and Anthony had really no chance after he made the catch. Walton was right on him. It'll be no gain, maybe even a loss on the play. It'll be a loss back to around the 40. There was a flag on the play, but it's on Gillespie, so that will be declined, and it will be Carlinville football after Gillespie turns it over on downs with 5:25 to play in the third quarter. Jared Easterday and crew back on the field, leading 35-7. Rain continues to fall here in Gillespie. Three receivers, two on the left side. Dixon singled up, top side of the formation. Shotgun snap, handoff goes to Tucker Hughes, and Tucker just slimes his way right through the heart of the line, and he is down inside the Gillespie 35 at around the 33. Gain of about seven for Tucker. Carlinville quickly to the line, and Kyle Dixon got a quick start. He forgot the snap count as he puts hands on hips and looks over to Jared Easterday like, I thought you were going to snap the ball.
Uh-huh. Well, another Carlinville penalty. Seventh of the game counted. Like I said, they had some double penalties. They could only take one.
So that'll move the football back 5 yards to the Gillespie 38-yard line. 5:05 for the third quarter.
And so far, this quarter has been played a little better on that end of the penalty sorts. Haven't had those pass interference, personal fouls. And
we had a lot of those in the first half.
And just jumping off sides on Gillespie's part themselves. They started the game with those.
Easterday will hand it off to Hughes, Tucker Hughes. Not much room that time as he keeps his legs churning and moving. Gets down to the 36, a gain of two. It'll bring up third down and about six for Carlinville. Coming up next week, the Cavaliers will be hosting Litchfield, and Gillespie will be at Pena. We talked at the start of the year about the brutal start for Gillespie at Vandalia, home tonight to Carlinville at Pena next week. That's about as tough as it gets in the South Central Conference.
It is indeed. Pena, I do believe, is having a good game this week.
Empty backfield as Easterday motions Hughes out. Little pump fake, looking deep, miscommunication, and it could have been it could have been intercepted as Dixon stopped on the play.
He totally stopped it, and right when he threw the ball, it was like, uh-oh.
So that'll bring up fourth down.
Defender could not get back, and he got a hand on it.
Carl, we've seen that a few times tonight with some miscommunication.
They've been in the wrong place, or two receivers going to the same spot and the ball going somewhere totally different.
That is
two or three times now.
Abnormal for this Carlinville offense, usually so efficient and proficient. Fourth and six. Easton, it looks like he's going to be punting here. Gillespie doesn't have anybody back. Snap to Jared. He will roll to his right. Low line drive kick. Will it stay out of the end zone? Cavaliers give it a chase. Oh, they tap it back, and I think they kept it out of the end zone. No, they didn't. It just got into the end zone. Ambule almost got there, but could not stop it. So it'll be a touchback, and the football will come out to the 20-yard line, and that's where Gillespie will start first and 10. But it's these types of situations, Carl. Even though it's 35-7, Carlinville obviously has big goals and aspirations for a deep playoff run. So in that spot, there's no reason to try to go for it, because you get into a playoff setting, that's going to be a punting situation, and you're going to be looking to pin the opponent inside the five.
Well, absolutely, and came close. Ball just creeped into the end zone.
And this is
a good break for the Miners. They obviously didn't need to be starting at the one
no,
in this rain game.
They had to start at the four after the
yes.
Carlinville fumble to start the quarter. Now they'll get to start at their own 20. That's Carter under center. Another four receiver look for Gillespie. Joey straight back in the pocket. Oh, and miscommunication there is running right up the seam. Wide open was John Berry, but the ball was thrown behind him.
And if you look where the quarterback was, he was on his back again, Tim. So his throw is thrown off every time. And, hey, after about six or seven of those hits, your throw's just off even if you have time.
And now Carter gets up shaking his hand. It's his left hand, though, for the righty. 3:54, third quarter. 35-7, Carlinville leading. Four receivers again for Gillespie, two each side of the formation. Three-step drop for Carter, and incomplete, looking for Berry. Well defended out there by Ambule. And right now, with these quick drops and the pressure, the Carlinville secondary is just sitting on those short patterns.
They're sitting on short patterns, and, yeah, the line is firing through and not giving him time to throw deep.
Gillespie will huddle up. Play clock down to 20. Rain continues to fall here at Alumni Field in Gillespie. It's thinned the crowd out a little bit, but still a lot of faithful folks hanging around, taking in high school football here this last night in August. A little underneath pass to Berry, makes the catch and gets out across the 35. The ball came out, but I think he was down. He was. He's going to be short of first down yardage. It's going to be fourth down and just a couple of yards for Gillespie. Gain of eight on that play. Fourth and two. 3:20 for the third quarter. This was a one-touchdown game with 2 minutes to play, or a little more than 2 minutes to play in the first half. It's now 35-7. Kind of similar to a week ago. It was 14-0 at the half, and then all of a sudden it was 35-0, Carlinville over Hillsboro.
As we've mentioned many times, quick strike ability of the Cavaliers.
Carter drops again back, pressure again, and he's going to throw it down the sideline. What a catch by Stroh as he inbounds. Nope, out of bounds.
No.
As again, Carter took a lick. Great catch by Stroh, but just couldn't keep his feet in bounds.
Really nothing else he could do. His quarterback's in trouble. He makes a great catch, but the quarterback had to throw it a little high just to get rid of it, and that just forced that nice throw out of bounds and did not get him a completion in the first.
Stroh's listed at 6'6", and he needed all of that frame to haul that one in.
Otherwise, you just won't see a better catch than that on the sideline.
In the rain, no less. Carlinville takes back over at the Gillespie 28-yard line. Three receivers right side of the formation. Dixon, the lone receiver on the left side. Ethan Wallace is the tailback. Easterday from shotgun. He's going to swing it out to Walton. Passes too tall. Walton gets taken to the ground, and it's incomplete. As that was Adam Beck who wrapped up Walton that time. Be second and 10.
And he came as close as possible to getting there before the throw was even there.
And it was going to be incomplete
regardless.
It was just too tall.
We had a lot of those calls, and that's how you get them sometimes.
Second and 10, three receivers right side. Dixon back on the left side. Oh, Wallace slipped in the rain, but now he takes the handoff and has a nice gain inside of the 15. down to the Gillespie 11-yard line, a gain of 17. And Carlinville back in the Severs Equipment Red Zone. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville. Online at SeversEquipment.com as Wallace lost his footing as he was moving forward, Carl. But what a nice piece of athleticism to recover and get a nice gain. First and 10 at the 11, the perfect spot on the field for a first down. They can get a first down without a touchdown. Wallace inside handoff, and Ethan inside the 10, down close to the 5. They'll mark him at the 6, a gain of 5.
Wallace, 147 yards now.
We saw Ethan Wallace a little bit last year in his junior season, but he's definitely much more of a feature back this year in his senior year. Second down and 5 at the 6. Carlinville looking to add to the 35-7 lead. Easterday will hand to Wallace. Ethan running right, has room, and he has a touchdown. Ethan Wallace, his second touchdown of the night. This is a 6-yard score after he scored from 63 yards earlier in the quarter. That makes it 41-7. It's a 4-play drive covering 28 yards after Gillespie turned it over on downs. Cavaliers continuing to do great work on the ground here tonight. And it's not just because the rain can. They were featuring the run to start the ball game as well. As Tucker Hughes on for another extra point. Hasn't missed one all season. Snap down. And the kick is perfect for Tucker. A minute 51 to play in the third quarter. It is all Carlinville now. 42-7. The Cavies lead Gillespie. We'll come back to Alumni Field in Gillespie following these messages on WSMI. 4 plays, 28 yards, a 6-yard touchdown for Ethan Wallace's second of the night as Carlinville now leads 42-7. It was 14-7 with 2:18 to play in the first half. Little onside kick from Matt Schmidt, but Makopic gets on top of it quickly. Now he turns the corner. He's down the sideline. Inside the Carlinville 40, runs over Matt Schmidt and is brought down at, he stepped out at the Carlinville 26-yard line.
Big, big return. A little hope for the Gillespie Miners.
And that's what you're looking for, Carl, if you're Gillespie on that onside kick. If you can handle it cleanly, get a good hop up into your belly and get some blocking, you can do exactly what Dominic Makopic just did. Turn the corner and give yourself a nice scoring opportunity.
See if they can catch the Cavaliers a little flat-footed and maybe go for the end zone right here.
103 seconds for the third quarter. 3 receivers for Gillespie. Carter under center. Little 3-step drop. He's going to throw the fade and incomplete. Great effort out there. Good coverage by Walton. Anthony Cravagna elevated, went up with one hand, almost made a spectacular catch. Anthony comes off. He's holding his left side. He might have got the wind knocked out of him the way he came down on the ground there. Ground might be softer because it's raining, Carl, but it's not that soft.
No.
Second and 10 for the Miners from the Carlinville 26-yard line. Looks like the rain has stopped for the time being. Nice little breeze blowing here. Carter will hand to Makopit and Dominic. Short gain inside the 25 down to about the 24, and it's going to be 3rd and 8. Obviously, it'll be 4-down territory for the Miners here. Clock running, minute 20 for the third quarter. Gillespie will huddle up. Kopic will be the deep back along with John Berry. Carter, a little play action. He has time to set up this time. Going to throw over the middle, looking for his man. Incomplete. Ooh. Into the end zone. Colin Gibble had the coverage.
And you're right on the fact he had time to set up. Nate made a pretty good throw right there, but just, what, a little over his reach.
Looking for Billy Gill that time, and Billy got up a little bit hobbly. He's able to limp his way back to the huddle. 55 seconds for the third quarter. It'll bring up 4th down and 7 from the Carlinville 23, and the Miners will obviously go. They'll split two out to the left side of the formation, two more to the right side. Tailback lined up behind Carter. Flips the towel up onto the back of his center. Trying to keep his hands dry. Oh, pressure immediately. Just has to throw it up, and it's incomplete. That time, Joey Carter had no chance. He had to just unload that ball and just hope that his receiver could run underneath it.
And that's really tough. It's tough enough. It's a kind of a timing play as it is, Tim, but you're supposed to have time to throw it. He did not. Cavaliers defense did not give him that time.
50 seconds for the quarter, and Gillespie will turn it over on downs. Back to Carlinville it goes. They will start at their own 23. So the great return from Makopik does not lead to points. Instead, of four and out for Gillespie. And Jared Easterday back on the field for Carlinville. He's looking to the sideline for the play call. Play clock has not started yet. 42-7, Cavies lead. Aaron Duff told us last week on Sports Saturday, Carl, that he thinks that Carlinville is better this year than they were last year, and that is a scary proposition.
No argument for me. Very good team last year, and well, they're full of seniors.
Yeah, they are. Big senior class that has seen a lot of success. Of course, Kyle Dixon was a big contributor defensively on that state runner-up team his sophomore year. Jared Easterday, remember, he played a lot of quarterback his freshman year after Adam Walton got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So he went into his junior year with a lot of experience. He's a chance to break all sorts of records now in his senior year. Throws it out in the flat. The catch is made. First down yardage down that far sideline. That was Kyle Dixon on the catch. Of course, yeah, you got to think.
Only a second catch, Tim.
This is a Carlinville offense, of course, that for years was built on the running game. They had, of course, Tunde Ridley. They had Brandon Stewart. I mean, the list
they
of great tailbacks is long and illustrious.
Them.
So now that they've gone to the spread, that was a gain of 10, by the way, for Dixon. It's just a totally different offensive look, and I think it's part of the reason, obviously, talent, but it's why they've been able to make deeper runs in the postseason the last few years is because they are multi-dimensional now on the offensive side.
Oh, absolutely. And did the Gillespie Miners work very hard at maybe controlling Kyle Dixon in this game? Well, we've seen who all steps up.
I mean,
Jake Amuel steps up, and your running game steps up, and what are you doing?
Every week, Carl, when you go in game planning for Carlinville, Dixon has to be your focal point. But as you just said, they've got so many other weapons that can beat you. And if you single him up, he's going to destroy you. Second and six, ball spotted at the 39. Handoff away to Tucker Hughes. And he should have enough for a Carlinville first down out across the Cavie 45 to the 46. Clock will stop with 1.5 seconds as they move the chains.
Up.
And now they will roll it. And that is the third quarter. One touchdown in the quarter, courtesy. Check that, two touchdowns in the quarter, both courtesy of Ethan Wallace, a 63-yarder and a 6-yarder. After three quarters here in week two, it is the Carlinville Cavaliers 42, the Gillespie Miners 7. You're listening to South Central Conference football on WSMI. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here at Alumni Field in Gillespie. The rain has stopped. The Carlinville domination has not. They lead 42-7, and they have the football first and 10 at their own 46-yard line. Been a heavy dose of the running attack with Ethan Wallace here tonight. And Carlinville going to get called
again for
a motion penalty. Jake Ambule got an early start on the outside. That'll cost them 5 yards and move the football back to the 41. And that will certainly be, I would imagine, the focal point of Chad Easterday's conversations with his team after the game tonight and in film session tomorrow. Way too many penalties. They've had the pre-snap penalties. They've had the personal foul penalties. They've had the holding penalties. They've had a nice variety.
They've gone through the whole checklist of penalties.
Easterday straight back. He's looking deep. DeLong behind the defense. It is caught at the 35. He's at the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown.
Wow. Big, quick strike offense, and that's what this Cavalier team just keeps on doing.
That is a 59-yard touchdown on the first play of the fourth quarter. And that ball was thrown perfectly in stride to Colton DeLong. Four plays, 77 yards for the touchdown drive.
So you got over 240 yards of rushing, over 180 yards of passing. That's quite the offense in a rainy Friday night.
It's working. in all aspects for the Cavaliers. Another extra point try for Tucker Hughes. The snap is back. The hold is down. The kick is up, and the kick is good. With 11:50 to play in the ball game, it is 49-7, and the clock will run the rest of the way here at Alumni Field in Gillespie. We'll take a break. Back following these messages on WSMI. 49-7, Carlinville. It was 14-7 with 2:18 to play in the first half. And, boy, Carlinville has exploded since then. 49-7, your score. And Jared Easterday just hooked up with Colton DeLong in a 59-yard touchdown. Tucker Hughes now will kick it away. That is angled towards the sideline, and it will go out of bounds. And, Carl, you know, it can kind of get lost with the big explosive plays, but Tucker Hughes has not missed an extra point all season long.
Has not at all. That gave him 12 for the season, 12 for 12.
And he can be a weapon in that kicking game. Yeah. Could you comment? I think you're exactly right.
At least 30 yards. Don't you? It seems like he's shooting it way through the uprights.
And he just looks, you mentioned it during the break, his extra points look smoother this year. This big senior class for Carlinville, and they just seem like a group of seniors and a team as a whole that is on a mission this year. And when you get a taste of deep playoff success, you like that taste, and
Absolutely.
You want it again, especially your senior year. Long way to go before we get there, but man, through the first 7-plus quarters of the year, Carlinville, they are the team to beat in the South Central Conference. They've left little doubt about that.
Yeah,
if there was any doubt coming into the year, there's none right now.
We knew they would be one of the top. Got to believe they probably are the top.
Oh, Carter is licked and dropped by Tucker Hughes. He gets the sack back at the 30-yard line. Boy, he squared Joey Carter up right in the chest, drove him back, and got him down. The big game for Carlinville is going to be week 4. We'll have it live on WSMI FM 106 when the Paina Panthers come into Carlinville for a big-time matchup 2 weeks from now. They will go to Vandalia in week 7, at Staunton in week 8, host Greenville in week 9. But that's the thing that makes Carlinville so tough over the years, Carl. They don't overlook anybody. They take every opponent with the same respect and the same concentration and focus. As McCopet lowers his shoulder, gets out across the 35 to about the 36. And when you prepare for, say, Litchfield, the same way that you prepare for Paina, that's how you get consistency over a long period of time. Because they get everybody's best shot every week. Everybody circles Carlinville on the schedule as the game that can make your season. If you could beat Carlinville, you're off to a good start.
They've kind of taken over the Greenville's title for what they had 5-6 years ago for this last 5-6 years.
And that's exactly right. Carter takes a lick, untouched off the edge, but a beautiful strike to Dominic Taylor makes the catch inside the Carlinville 30 down at the 27. A beautiful throw and catch, and give Joey Carter credit, Carl. He took a big lick. He knew he was going to get rocked. He stood in there and made a beautiful throw.
Well, that's his only option, really, because he's never had a whole lot of time to make a throw.
Gain of 27. No, it was more than that, excuse me. From their own 36 to the Carlinville 27. Clock running, 9:40 for the ball game. It'll run the rest of the way. Carlinville up by 42. Handoff to Barry, running to the right. Flag comes out. Barry has first down yardage. We'll wait for the signal. And it'll be on Gillespie. Bring it back.
Yeah, both teams might be talking about the penalty problem after tonight's game.
It's been definitely a story. Certainly was early in that first half. That was a gain of 37 on that big pass play from Carter to Taylor. He's had a couple of big receptions tonight. Gillespie's going to start 0-2 on the year. I mentioned that gauntlet, their first three games at Vandalia. Close loss there last week. Carlinville's taking it to them tonight. Then they will be at Pena coming up next week. Carter airing it out again. Cravagna tries to make the adjustment, a little bit underthrown and incomplete. Good play on the football that time from both Cravagna and the defensive back for Carlinville, which was Joe Lewis. For the ball game. Stay tuned. David Jenkins will have the post-game show coming up when we're through here on WSMI FM 106. Then Sports Saturday tomorrow morning, 9:03 here on WSMI. Of course, we always have our ball games available in a podcast for free at WSMIRadio.com. Carter sets up the little screen pass, caught by Barry. He will work back to the middle of the field, slung down, got back close to the original line of scrimmage. And Carl, when you were down getting, I think, a pork burger at the half, you had a Gillespie fan asking about a few years ago, I think when Cravagna and his group of teammates were, I think, seventh graders, they went to state in basketball, and he was asking about that ball game and the broadcast. That is podcasted, WSMIRadio.com. Just go to the archive section. We've got, you know, each by each year. So any ball game we've done, we have it archived at WSMIRadio.com.
Especially state title games,
absolutely, I take it. Absolutely. They will pitch it to Barry, running left, stays on his feet and dives inside the 10-yard line. That'll be a gain of about 18 yards. First down. ST Toad always says, it's like a tin roof. It's on the house.
It's on the house. What a deal.
Free download. Listen at your leisure. Inside of 7 minutes for the ball game. It was 14-7 late in the first half. And then Carlinville has just taken it to a different gear. Handoff to McCope, but always slipped. The wet track cost Dominic there. He put his foot in the ground to plant, and then he just fell right down. Nothing you can do about that. Frustrated was McCope, but kind of tossed the ball to the side. And that is frustrating because he did have a hole. It'll be second and goal at the 5. We approach the midway point of the fourth quarter. The Gillespie cheerleaders still pumping up the crowd.
They're kind of our weather report. When their plastic's off, we know they're not raining.
Handoff goes inside, and not much there. Johnson stops shy of the goal line, and we've got whistles, a little bit of extracurricular after the play. Don't see any flags out, though.
Well, I think the officials are trying to not make as many calls as they did early, just simply trying to let the game get going.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
It's 49-7. It's been raining.
Yeah.
Time to go. But that's a fine line, too. Now the flag comes
out
because you can't let the game get out of hand. You can't let it get chippy. That's going to be on Gillespie, unsportsmanlike. On the Miners. That play was over for a good 30 seconds, so there must have been some chirping going on down there, and the
sometimes
referee finally had enough.
Be happy you got away with something and keep going.
Let well enough be alone, you're saying?
Yes. Don't bring it up to the other team, vice versa.
It's always amazing the conversations that go on, especially during a football game. Stuff that you never hear from the stands, maybe not even necessarily on the sidelines. When that ball's spotted in the middle of the field, who knows what's going on. 5:45 for the ball game, so the penalty takes the football back to the 17, where it's third and goal. Carter under center. He's going to drop straight back. Throws over the middle. It is caught for a touchdown. The flag comes out. That's going to be pass interference on Carlinville. Devin Stroh with the touchdown. Now the official picks the flag up and says, never mind.
He wanted to catch it, but it was too late after he seen the catch.
Carter to Stroh. That was another nice play by a Gillespie receiver. That'll be a 17-yard touchdown with 5:34 to play in the ballgame. We saw Stroh there, Taylor on a couple different plays, and Carvagna all make really good plays going up and getting the football away from Carlinville defenders.
Well, I could say if that more time, Joey Carter would have had a well of a day. He's already thrown for 117 yards for the Miners, and really just didn't have many times where he had time to throw.
And that has been the main problem for Gillespie tonight, is Carter has not had the time to throw. The kick is up, and it is put right through the heart of the uprights by Adam Beck. 49-14, but we have a flag on the extra point.
Uh-huh.
Both teams, though, heading off.
I think
they're talking to the Carthenville captain right now, so that would indicate that it's against Gillespie. Talking to
illegal procedure on the minors.
They're talking to Adrian Noggle there.
So it'll be a re-kick.
We'll take the point off the board, and we'll do it again. False start on Gillespie. So it's 49-13 at the moment. Carlinville home next week to host Litchfield. Gillespie will travel to Paynham. And then it gets a little bit better for Gillespie, but, you know, there's really nothing easy in the South Central Conference. Litchfield, of course, down this year with their numbers. They're struggling, but you got Roxana week four if you're Gillespie, then Hillsboro, Litchfield. You finish with Staunton, Greenville, and Southwestern. And Beck says, I'll do it again, and I'll make it again. 5:34 for the ball game. 49-14. Carthenville leads. We'll come back with the Gillespie kickoff following these messages on WSMI. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here at Alumni Field in Gillespie. All Carthenville, really, from the two-minute mark of the first half on. 49-14, but it was 14-7 late in that first half. We've talked about it over the years, though, with this Carthenville team, Carl. That's just kind of how they roll, so to speak. They can strike in a hurry and take a close game and stretch it out.
They can indeed. You got Ethan Wallace, 12 carries, 153 yards. You got Tucker Hughes with 82 yards and 12 carries. So a great running game going for him.
Gillespie kicks it away. Riley Rouse makes an over-the-shoulder catch. Now he will turn it upfield and return it out across the 35 to about the 37-yard line, and that's where the Cavaliers will take over first and 10. And I would imagine we're going to see the backups now. As Michael Byatts, the junior quarterback, will come onto the field. And that's what Carlinville's been able to do the last couple years as well, Carl, in the regular season. They haven't really had to play their starters four full quarters very often.
No, not many games. So,
and they're able to get a lot of these kids Friday night experience, which all adds up. And
especially for your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Kind of like to have him get a few snaps, obviously.
Byatts from shotgun. He will hand it off, and the Gillespie defense is ready for that, and they stack it up. It's going nowhere. Lost a yard, maybe two.
And a flag will come in.
As the play was blown dead, but the play was not stopping. It was Noggle.
I think that's why the flag came in, obviously.
Hunter Robinson, I think, had that ball carry. It'll be on Gillespie. And that's a tough one if you're the Miners. You know, it's been a long second half here, and you got to play. You play to the whistle. Sometimes you play a little beyond the whistle. Mm.
Yep.
They got flagged for it. 4 minutes to play in the ball game.
Both teams definitely found their share of flags today.
Well, a lot of laundry on the field tonight. Hunter Robinson will come up off the left shoulder of Byatts. They will give to Robinson. Hunter will run to the right, and he is hit in midfield and dropped there. A host of minor defenders. And a Gillespie player slow to get up in the backfield. To his feet. I believe that is Florian Seferi. 3.5 minutes to play. Stay tuned for the postgame show with David Jenkins coming up next here on WSMI FM 106. David will recap the second week of the high school football season. It always flies by, Carl, and next week will be a third of the way done.
That's true.
Shotgun snap to Byatts. He will hand to Robinson. Hunter lowers his shoulder, gets across midfield, now takes another big hit at around the Gillespie 47-yard line. Inside of 3 minutes for the ball game. None of the Carlinville fans have left. They've endured the rain here tonight. Sports Saturday tomorrow morning, 9:03 here on FM 106 and Fighting Illini football on the Ox tomorrow. They will kick off their season against Kent State, 10 o'clock. WAOX 105.3 The Ox tomorrow morning. Will the Illini be better this year, Carl?
Hopefully some.
That's a ringing endorsement. Thompson off the left side gets stacked up at the 45 and no more.
Just hard to really turn a program around that big and why they were little.
Yeah.
Just a little short, not super athletic team and played a lot of freshmen.
Not good attributes in the Big Ten.
And yeah, here in the Big Ten, and that's just the bottom line.
But you mentioned it right there, youth, and I think they're going to be young again this year. Maybe not as young as they were last year, but still certainly young to be playing big-time college football.
Right.
You just hope that that youth can eventually develop and have success a few years down the road. Bites, fakes the handoff, keeps it himself, and he's going to be sacked back around the 48-yard line. That was McCopit on the sack with 95 seconds to play in the game. And when you're a program like Illinois and playing in the Big Ten, you got to be able to beat the quote-unquote smaller schools like a Kent State. Now, they've had trouble with that over the years.
Yeah, even when they had pretty better ball clubs. So they've had that problem
those
before.
Those directional schools have given them fits.
And, of course, one of the non-Big Ten is going to be South Florida again. So you can't consider that playing the smaller school, but that's going to be top 25 school.
Oh, exactly right. They are a more established and better football program at this point in time than Illinois is. Into the final minute here at Alumni Field in Gillespie.
Maybe playing at Wrigley Field will make some fun.
There you go.
I think they're doing that twice this year.
Will they only go one way again like they did the last
time
they played there?
No, I think
they fixed that problem.
Fixed that problem.
Gillespie pitches left to John Berry. He has a nice hole, and he is still on his feet, spinning away, refuses to go down, stays in bounds, and dives inside the 20 at the 16 as Gillespie's back into the Severs recruitment red zone. Mow like a pro with X mark. Score big at Severs. Online at SeversEquipment.com. Let's see. That was a gain of about 30 yards for Berry, but he stayed in bounds. The clock runs. Not that it matters when the clock is running. 10 seconds, this could be the final snap, will be the final snap of the game unless Gillespie scores. Carter going to go in zone, looking, and it is incomplete, and that's the ball game. 49-14 is the final. The Carthenville Cavaliers improve to 2-0 on the year. Gillespie drops to 0-2, a tough start at Vandalia. Carthenville tonight at Pena next week. The Cavaliers win it 49-14. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have our wrap. Stay tuned for the David Jenkins postgame show coming up on WSMI. Back here at Alumni Field in Gillespie, 49-14 is the final. Carthenville turned it on in the last two quarters and 2 minutes. It was 14-7 with 2:18 to play in the first half. And then after that, it was all Cavaliers. They got a 20-yard touchdown from Easter Data Ambule, a 2-yard touchdown from Easter Data Ambule, a 63-yard touchdown from Ethan Wallace. That started the scoring in the second half. Then a 6-yard touchdown run from Ethan Wallace. Then Easter Day found Colton DeLong for a 59-yard touchdown. That made it 49-7, got the clock running. And then with about 5.5 minutes to go in the ballgame, Joey Carter found Devin Stroh for a 17-yard touchdown to make it our final score of 49-14. But, Carl, as we look at the numbers tonight, boy, it was a lot of different ways you could go, but Ethan Wallace had a real nice ballgame.
Ethan Wallace was the big yardage man by far, as he picks up 153 yards for the Cavaliers in just, 12 carries. So same as Tucker Hughes has 12 carries for 82 yards. That's normally a very good game itself, but 153, 82 by the two running backs. Jared Easterday throws 9 out of 12 for 189 yards. And the big receiving man of the day, Jacob Ambule, 5 catches, 69 yards, 3 of them touchdowns. Just a huge day for the Cavaliers. And hats off to Joey Carter, who throws for 117 yards despite being really constantly harassed
all
by
night.
That Carthenville defense, and hit almost every time he even completed a pass.
So Gillespie now 0-2 on the year. Carthenville improves to 2-0. The Cavies home next week to host Litchfield. That's a game we'll have for you on WSMI FM 106. For Gillespie, doesn't get any easier. They will be on the road at Pena. We want to thank all the wonderful people here at Gillespie High School. They treat us so good every time we come into town, so we thank them for their hospitality. Of course, thanks to our football sponsors. Without them, none of these broadcasts are possible. Please get out, patronize the businesses you've heard on our broadcast tonight, because without them, we don't bring you any high school sports on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Your final one more time from Gillespie, the Carletonville Cavaliers 49, the Gillespie Miners 14. For Carl the Bar, I'm Tim Mize. Thanks to Jennifer Graham, who produced tonight's action here on FM 106. Stay tuned. The postgame show with David Jenkins comes up next here on FM 106.